You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
13-year NFL vets on the field, 17-year NFL coach Pepper Johnson joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. Pepper, Jody Mack here. How you doing, bud?
I'm pretty good. And yourself?
Good. I appreciate you coming on board. I just mentioned your lengthy and illustrious playing career and in your coaching career as well. Last year was the first year not on an NFL sideline for the last 30 years, the previous 30 years. How badly are you chomping at the bit to get back at it?
Oh, dang. It's hard to explain. I mean, a lot of my friends that I've been watching last season, I watched some of the games with, they don't want to watch football with me anymore. They like, man, you take all the fun out of the game of just watching the game on TV.
Well, as long as you're not breaking furniture or whatever, are you tipping the plays? Is that why? Or are you taking it too seriously? Just can't kick back, relax, and enjoy?
No, I can't. I tell everybody, I've stopped being a football fan a long time ago. I think mainly when I started coaching, but I stopped being a football fan. I watched the game from with my coaching hat on at all times. Matter of fact, I watch all sports with my coaching hat on at all times, but football mainly. I'm telling these guys, this is the problem. They're going to attack this. They're going to attack that, or they can't get these yards this way, and this is the reason why they're having success that way. None of my friends like watching the games with me anymore.
I can see it. It's unfortunate, but unfortunately, I can also see it and understand it. Pepper Johnson, our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, so the playing career is over after 13 years. You hook up with Coach Belichick. You have the successful run with him, including several Super Bowl rings. You get to add to the Giants Super Bowl rings. You got as a player, you got some pretty fine jewelry there, my friend. And you made the move in 2013 to leave the Patriots. You went to the Bills to coach on the Bills staff. What happened there? Why'd you make that move?
I really, you're talking about chopping at the bit now, just trying to get back into coaching. I felt like I wanted to see, could I do it myself? Not just up under Coach Belichick. Coach Belichick taught me very well. Coach Parcells, I think they taught me very well. And so I wanted to see, can I do it out there on my own? Can I create a staff? Can I organize a game plan and everything myself? And so I went out there and tried to test the water of being a defensive coordinator, and things just didn't work out for me.
Fair enough. So you spend 1 year in Buffalo, then you spend 2 years with the Jets, and Coach Todd Bowles decided he was going to let you go after the 2016 season. Sounds like you didn't part on the best of terms. What happened between you and the Jets?
Well, I can't say we parted bad, because it wasn't any information. It was just we're going in another direction. And the other direction, I guess, didn't include me. And I didn't ask any questions, because I felt like I was just a scapegoat, that it was, it was my room. I don't think it was my room. The problems that I was having, I put out there. I inherited a lot of people that was in my room. Matter of fact, everybody that was in my room. So I did what I was asked to do. I can only coach people that want to be coached, and that's what I did. I got a lot of production out of the guys that was in my room. I think that this is a production game, and I hopefully that don't sound too selfish, But coming from 2015, being, you know, and I know this is, I mean, it might be politics, but I was voted Defensive Line Coach of the Year in 2015, and that was my first year coaching the Jets. And the next year, I coached one of the guys that, you know, from my room, Leo Williams, was most valuable player on the team. And I asked a lot of people. I asked a lot of athletes, both football, basketball, you know, and all sports, have they ever had one person voted unanimously by every player and every coach to be the most valuable player on the team? And granted, we didn't win a lot of games. We wasn't a championship team, but still, that guy, you know, come out on top in the from his peers and from all the coaches, and it comes from my room. So it's kind of upsetting knowing that you know, you produced, you did what you was asked to do as a coach, and you get fired.
Pepper, you're told your services are no longer needed. You said it wasn't a harsh breakup, but you didn't like the fact that they didn't give you more details on why they didn't keep you. Did you lobby hard for another job with another organization? Were you willing to take a year off? I saw in the article that they did with you on Deadspin that you think it's very difficult once you get out to get back in on that coaching carousel. Why is that? Why do you think it's so difficult after sitting out a year to get another spot?
Well, you know, I didn't experience the difficulty of getting in the league in the first place because of Coach Belichick, because of our relationship. So it was really a mutual thing. Coach Belichick and I, we both kind of reached out to each other. He needed a little help trying to connect the gap between him and some of the players on his philosophy and how he liked doing things. And I had a dream of going back to coaching my high school. How can I organize certain, you know, organize a room, organize a team, you know, my coaches and everything. As far as coaching, I think I have that down pat, or a good concept. Let me not say down pat, but a good concept. But as far as the day-to-day rituals of how you want to go about game planning and practices and all that and training, I think I needed a little work. You know, coming out playing, and so I did the minority internship with Coach Belichick. After a kind of a rough year, knowing that the team had a lot of promise, and after, you know, Coach Belichick see where how some people function during the season, and he did his he started operating and he started getting very analytical on who he was going to keep and who he wasn't going to keep. And, you know, pretty much the rest is history. And I stuck around for that.
You stuck around for 13 years. That's a long time.
Yeah, 14 years with the guy. And it was, you know, I commend him for giving me that opportunity. And I didn't have to go. I didn't have to make 900 calls and interview and do all that stuff. It was, you know, he knows my passion for the game. There was a few times during those 14 years that I brought it up in meetings that, Coach, I only know what you taught me. Now, you're trying to unteach me some things? That's a whole nother story, but I only know what you taught me. And I go strong with that. And, of course, I have my playing experience that no one can take away from me. So sometimes that cured the argument or discussion. Let me say a discussion. There's never really an argument with Coach Belichick. He's got the last say, and you know he's going to have the last say.
All right, let me ask a couple of questions along those lines. You join Belichick just as he starts in New England. You guys have that successful run. His goes on afterwards. He's now added two more Super Bowl wins to the three that you and he achieved when he was there. I'm guessing those 13 years, there was really very little question as to who's the man, who's in charge. Everybody's on the same page because there's one page. It's Coach Belichick's page, and everybody else gets on it, and it works. Over the last year and change, there seems to be a little divisiveness and a little breaking of the foundation. And there was the lengthy ESPN story about Tom and at times Bill not on the same page, and the owner and Bill might have had their fair share of disagreements and the like. Are you surprised that it isn't just Bill's way in New England anymore? Do you believe that there's something to that article, that it may be coming toward the end of the Belichick run in New England?
I don't even know where to start with that. I guess where first things first, I don't want it to sound like it's Bill's way or no way. Because one thing that I like about Coach Belichick and what we did over there with the Patriots is that everyone had a say. When you sat down at the table, everyone had a say. I never did, but if I wanted to comment on the offensive lineman, I think this guy is better than that guy. My comments was heard. And as a matter of fact, Coach Garnecchia, he really liked that input, because how do I see it? Because that's how opponents are going to look at it, and maybe he's overseeing something. And I like the thought of the Knights of the Round Table. But when I say, you know, Coach Belichick, he has the last say, because if there's any, if I say, I think Vince Wilfork is a little better at this than doing that, but he thinks Vince is going to be better at this game doing this, then that's what we're going to do. If we get into the ball game and we're not getting as much push up the middle like we thought we were, then Bill's going to say, Pepper, hey, go put him where you want him. And then I get to put him where I want him, and we work that way. It's a lot of Coach Belichick, but at the same token, he allowed you to be you. And I don't know if I in Buffalo I did. I got to watch that comment, because Coach Schwartz, we started off good in Cleveland, and then when I get to Buffalo, I think I kind of rubbed him the wrong way, misunderstood something I was talking about, and we didn't have a good training camp. We didn't start the training camp off good, but I mean, when the season came around, he totally took the handcuffs off me and let me do whatever I wanted to do within the concept of the scheme of the defense, and I felt real comfortable with that. Now, that was another situation with Coach Marone, and that ended ugly more than anything else, because if there wasn't a firing, it was just, the head coach leaving.
You got to be able to get along with the guys on the staff, but the big guy in charge, of course, is Coach Belichick. Yeah. All right, Pepper.
Now, some of the other stuff, I'm sorry I didn't finish your question. But some of the other stuff that's going on with the Patriots now, through my experience with the Patriots, I take some of that stuff with a grain of salt. I don't know how much is true, how much really bothers Coach Belichick or bothers Brady. or bothers Mr. Kraft. Like, all three of those guys right there, I don't think too much really bother them because they don't have thin skin. They can take it, and they also can dish it out, but they can take it, and they know they have had so much success working with each other to have an ending where now we don't get along because of some small things. I just, it's hard for me just to believe it. But again, I'm not over there in the building, so I can't really say.
All right, I'm going to ask you one last question that has nothing to do with the building with the Patriots. I'm going to take you back a little bit, back into your playing days, because you and I have something that is common to both of us. One of the most important days in my life, I believe, is one of the most memorable days in your life as well. If I mentioned Sunday, November 25th, 1990 to you, do you remember what transpired for you on November 25th, 1990?
November 25th, 1990. So that was kind of late in the season. Was it San Francisco?
No, it was the week before that.
Philadelphia.
And what transpired in that game between you and the Eagles?
Are you going to bring up when my roommate hit me?
I am absolutely going to bring up when your roommate hit you. Keith Byers threw the greatest downfield block, I believed it that day in 1990. I still believe it today in 2018. It's the best downfield block I've ever seen in my life, and he laid it on you. Your 10-0 Giants came in and got upset by the Eagles that day, and your teammate, your boy, your pal, Keith Byers hit you with one of the best blocks I've ever seen in my entire life.
But that's how we play. That's how Buckeyes do it. Coach Bruce, I think if Coach Bruce could have picked up a phone and got both of us on the phone right there, he probably would have got us on the phone, said a few swear words, because he could never get us to hit each other in practice.
That's funny.
Until we played our Scarlet and Gray game, he made us captains against each other, that we had no choice, that, you know, I had to tackle Keith had to block me. But, hey, that's football. That's to me, that's football. And that's one of the problems that we have in the day. Like, Keith probably would have got fined, if not kicked out of a game, for making that block on me, 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
30 years ago, yeah, it's been a long time, 27
exactly.
And change.
So, but that would have been a penalty, but it's, to me, that was part of the game. I'm chasing Randall Cunningham. So everything else is irrelevant to me. I have to catch Randall. I got to catch the rabbit.
And that wasn't easy.
The rabbit was running, and
yes,
the rabbit set me up, and Keith peeled back. And if you look back at the play, especially if you look at it on the full screen, Keith hit me, but Keith could have hit me a lot harder. He could have hit me a lot harder.
Okay, I thought he hit you pretty damn hard. I'll take your word for it, because you know him better than I do. Now, here's the question I have for you. Were you supposed to go out to dinner with him after the game? Did you go out to dinner with him after the game?
No way. No. First of all, Parcells, we're getting back on that bus. And riding home. There's no staying afterwards. But that was it. We're brothers before and after the game. But when that whistle blows, when the eye black goes on and the cleats get laced up and all that stuff, we're going at each other full tilt. But neither one of us are dirty players.
No.
So Keith would never hit me dirty, and I would never do anything dirty to him. So that was all part of football. The crazy part about that play is, like, I've had some of my players and I'm coaching, you know, I guess they get a little, you know, they want to play a joke on me because I tell them about what we used to do and what these guys can't do nowadays or how they play the game nowadays. They Google me. And the first play comes up.
Oh, that play comes up. I'm not
the
surprised.
First game. Is that not crazy? It must be a Philadelphia fan out in Google somewhere. How did that come up? They put my highlight, not Keith's highlight.
They put that one up on YouTube forever, both a Keith Byers highlight and an unfortunate Pepper Johnson highlight. Pepper, it was our pleasure to talk to you today. Continue to enjoy your off season. Continue to bother your friends. Make them watch football with you because you're not going to be back in coaching this year. But next year, we have faith that you'll get back and your friends will be your friends once again because you won't have to bother them on Sunday afternoons.
Exactly.
Pepper, good stuff.
Then they can criticize me.
There you go. They can sit at home and they can scream at the TV without you. They can just scream at you at the TV. Pepper, good stuff. Yeah. Thanks for coming on board. We appreciate it greatly.
Thank you.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.